Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Jim Remar, President and CEO of the Kansas Cosmosphere and Space Center in Hutchinson. Welcome to Issues 2018.
Thanks, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
I was just thinking that you and I did an interview, but it's been a while.
It's been a bit, yeah. It was actually in the old building.
So, right. Yeah. So it's been like a couple of years at least. Well, recently, the Cosmosphere received a big grant from NASA.
Yes, we did.
Tell us about it.
Absolutely. So we... We're the recipients of the NASA Team 2 grant, which awarded us $650,000. There were 43 applicants, and only three were given awards. So we're very excited and honored to have been chosen. And this project is a great one for us. It's going to allow our team to create curriculum as well as traveling exhibits centered around mission control. So a lot of people think about the Cosmosphere and astronauts, but we're going to introduce mission control.
What is that?
So mission control is where the engineers control the operation, the flight operation. So anything that goes up, mission control in Houston has operation control over that. And so our educators are going to develop a curriculum that puts students in a simulated mission. And we have actual mission control consoles from the back room of mission control where engineers sat during the Apollo program. And so we're going to build an exhibit around it. And so we'll introduce this curriculum and the exhibits to schools, to museums all over the country. And the grant will fund the development of 12 of them. We'll then send those out to Kansas schools, Challenger Learning Centers, and then Smithsonian affiliates across the country.
You say create 12 of them. Are they going to a truck or something?
They will. So we will create an exhibit that's, you know, roughly 10 foot by 10 foot by 8 foot high. Our SpaceWorks division will create the exhibit, the graphics, as well as the interactive with the console. And then each one of these will be created up. Our team will then ship them out and then arrive to install on site. They'll spend anywhere from 4 weeks to a couple of months at the school or at the museum. And then the educators there will take their participants through it. And then our team will come back, pack it up, and ship it on to the next institution.
So these consoles, will they have electronics? Can you hit switches and talk back and forth? What can you do with
Absolutely.
Them?
So the consoles themselves are... in terms of modern technology, a little antiquated. It's interesting that the flight controllers, when they were getting manned to the moon, had about 65K of memory in their computers, which, you know, our phones have significantly more computing power.
Our phone probably has more.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little history meets modern. So we'll put some modern computer monitors, LED monitors, where the old CRT cathode ray tube goes. And then we'll have computers in there. And then we'll have touch screens and things so the kids can interact with the console utilizing modern technology.
It's my understanding that the space program itself was instrumental in getting computers where they are today.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah.
We're doing a restoration project right now for Mission Control down at Johnson Space Center. And they took us back into a room where the old mainframes used to be. And you know, you're talking a room that's probably 3,000 square feet in size where these huge racks would be. Mm-hmm. And early on, IBM and the groups at MIT were instrumental in developing the computers for the Gemini and Apollo program. And a lot of those developments led to the computing power that we have today.
Now, have you received NASA grants in the past?
We have, but it's been a number of years. It's probably been at least 10-plus years, if not longer, since we've received a NASA grant. We have applied over the last 5 years, 6 years, but have not been awarded. And so I think this just signifies our relationship with NASA, shows the recognition of the cosmosphere, and allows us to really get part of our collection as well as our education programs out for more people to appreciate.
Now, how long have you been with the Cosmosphere?
Well, I'm in my second tour of duty. I was there originally from 2000 to 2008, left for 4 years, and then came back in 2012 as president and chief operating officer, and then was named CEO this past January.
Tell us about the history of the Cosmosphere. When was it built, and where did the idea come from?
Well, the Cosmosphere has a great history. We were started in 1962, and really as a dream of Patty Carey. Patty Carey was a local civic leader, philanthropist. She was really a doer, and she had a love of astronomy and love of the stars. And Patty wanted to do something to share that love with the community. She was also someone that you could not tell no. So she went to her friends and twisted a few elbows and raised enough to purchase a used star projector and a small dome, which she set up in the poultry building on the state fairgrounds. The reason why the poultry building, it was the only building that had a roof tall enough to accommodate the dome.
Yeah.
So Patty set that up in 1962, and the Hutchinson Planetarium took off. People enjoyed it so much so that in 1966, the Hutchinson Community College invited Patty to come onto their campus. And so they built a planetarium that Patty moved into. And from 66 to 1980, that planetarium operated. But Patty and her board wanted to do something more than just a planetarium. They wanted to be able to develop a science education center. They wanted to preserve the history of space exploration. And so in 1980, we opened the Kansas Cosmosphere and Discovery Center, underwent various expansions. Our most recent expansion was opened in 1997. It's hard to believe that was 21 years ago. But today we're the most complete, comprehensive space museum in the world dedicated to telling the story of the space race, the only museum in the world that tells it from both the points of the United States as well as the former Soviet Union. We're a world-class museum in 105,000 square feet that not only has the museum but wonderful leading-edge hands-on education programs. So a tremendous center today.
How is the Cosmosphere funded now?
We are mostly self-generated. Out of our operation, we're probably 75% self-funded and then 20% other funds, 20 to 25%. We generate our revenue through our ticket sales, so purchase to the Dome Theater, museum tickets, Dr. Goddard's lab, planetarium. We also have a retail component. Our education programming accounts for about 25% of our funding. And then we have a division called SpaceWorks that does restoration, artifact replication, and conservation work for literally groups all over the world, and that's a primary component. And then we receive about 18% from a local sales tax there in the community. The community of Hutchinson has supported the Cosmosphere year in and year out. And then the rest is through memberships and other fundraising initiatives.
How many visitors do you entertain?
We get about 105,000 visitors annually. And then we see thousands of other visitors, whether it's through our outreach programs. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, we spent the weekend in Dodge City. 1,000 participants came through our venue there. And then and we get tens of thousands that see our traveling exhibits. We support two international traveling exhibits that see tens of thousands of visitors on an annual basis. So our reach extends well beyond 200,000 on an annual level.
You talk about educational opportunities, and I've been aware of these in the past, but can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there still space camp?
It is. We have a really robust offering of education programs, and these are hands-on applied type of programming. And by that, you learn a formula or a theory in class in a textbook, but you may not really understand how that applies. So we put our participants in a setting where they begin to understand how that theory applies in a practical, real-world sense. And so we have field trip programs that are based on curriculum, utilizing the museum as a backdrop that we offer throughout the year for school kids. But then our flagship are the summer camp programs, the camps that basically go through a 12-week period over the summer. And they start out as young as second grade and then enter up into what are called our space camp. And these are levels 101 all the way up through what we call extreme. And in 101, the kids fly a simulated shuttle mission with a mission control. And it is all about leadership and critical thinking and team building. In 201, they expand upon that, but we introduce a scuba activity. The astronauts train for their spacewalks in a neutrally buoyant swimming pool. And so we do a scuba activity to simulate that. 301, our kids go down to Houston and Johnson Space Center and actually interact with the engineers down there and get a behind-the-scenes tour. 401, we go to Kennedy and do the same thing down in Florida. 501, they go out to California and visit Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Edwards Air Force Base. And then our extreme is a really fun camp. This year we're doing a Western extreme, and we're taking the kids out to Denver and Colorado Springs and showing them the Lockheed Martins and Boeings, and we're taking them down to New Mexico to show them White Sands, the old launch complexes where Wernher von Braun and his team set up. So these camps represent a great opportunity for kids to really find a passion, and it's not necessarily if you want to go to a four-year university or if you want to go into the trades. We just want you to find your passion and hopefully ignite that spark.
You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Jim Rebar, president and CEO of the Kansas Cosmosphere and Space Center in Hutchinson. What's the most popular exhibit?
Oh, it's got to be Apollo 13. Apollo 13 is such a tremendous artifact for us. The history behind it, the mission, the fact that the mission controllers in Houston had to figure out a way to return the astronauts safely to Earth. The movie obviously helped that. So almost all visitors who come to the Cosmosphere definitely want to see the Apollo 13.
What is it?
The capsule, right. So we have the actual command module Odyssey, the capsule that the astronauts were in, the capsule that was atop the service module when the explosion happened. And it's the capsule that they had to figure out how to return and re-enter the atmosphere and get the astronauts back to Earth. Mm-hmm. So that is a tremendous piece. And one of the things that really makes it special to us is we did the restoration. When the capsule got back, NASA stripped the interior of the command module and then shipped it off to France. It was in the Science Museum in Paris for many years. The Smithsonian, NASA, and the State Department got it back to the U.S. This was in the mid-90s, sent it to us where we reintegrated over 80% of the original hardware back into the capsule and then put it on display. And then right next to the capsule, we've got Jim Lovell's flown spacesuit from that mission. So it really makes a special exhibit.
Tell us about a couple of your permanent exhibits.
Absolutely. So our two key exhibits are our early space flight gallery, and that's the gallery that really showcases the space race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. And on one side, you have the Soviet program where we have a flown Vostok and an engineering model of a Vostok capsule, And then on the other side, we've got the Mercury and Gemini programs where the visitor can literally compare and contrast side by side. The Apollo gallery with the Apollo 13 command module capsule, as well as the White Room. The White Room happens to be my favorite artifact in the collection. And the White Room is the room where the Apollo astronauts entered, walked across the gantry, and did their final suit checkouts before they were inserted into the spacecraft. And to think about the emotions that went through those astronauts and were in that room are really incredible. And then another one that is a favorite of our visitors is our German gallery, where we showcase an actual V-2 rocket from Germany, the first ICBM, and this was utilized during the war. And then we also have an original V-1, and we talk about the development of the rocket, but also the use of the slave labor to develop it in the concentration camp. So it's a very powerful exhibit that our visitors really enjoy.
Does the annual State Fair help your attendance?
It does to some degree. A lot of the visitors to the State Fair tend to go to the State Fair and stay there. But we do see some trickle from the fair. We do have our Dr. Goddard's live science demonstration there on the fairgrounds throughout the duration. Yeah. And then I've been talking here recently with the interim fair manager, Bob Mader, about how the Cosmosphere and the fair and how Stratica can partner and do some things cooperatively together, collaborate throughout the year as well as during the fair to really showcase Hutchinson as a tourist destination.
Let's talk about Kansas and space. I know that the gentleman who discovered Pluto, Clyde Tombaugh.
Right, correct.
Is from Burdett, Kansas, which is where my grandmother is
from. Oh, really? So, that's neat.
So that's there, but what are there other connections?
There are. In fact, Kansas has a tremendously rich history of space exploration. You mentioned Clyde, Apollo astronaut Ron Evans is from Topeka. Ron was the command module pilot on Apollo 17. Joe Engel was also an Apollo astronaut from Chapman, Kansas. Joe was slated to fly as the lunar module pilot on Apollo 17, but he got bumped by Harrison Schmitt, the first scientist. But then Joe flew early shuttle missions, and Joe's a tremendous friend of the Cosmosphere. And then Steve Hawley, Salina native and current professor at KU. In fact, Steve and his wife, Eileen, were just at the Cosmosphere yesterday. Steve, again, is a tremendous supporter of the Kansas or the Cosmosphere. And then we have a current astronaut, Nick Haig, who is slated to fly up to the International Space Station. I believe he launches on a Soyuz in October. So the latest Kansas astronaut. And then a lot of people don't realize that two of the recovery pilots that recovered the Mercury and Gemini and Apollo spacecraft are also from Kansas. So Kansas is well represented in space exploration, past, present, and future. The future side, we've got Kansans who are working with Scale Composites on their spacecraft, and then the lead test pilot for Virgin Galactic, Forger Stuckey, is a Kansan. So Kansas is out there. We're proud.
You answered, I think, partially my next question. Do astronauts visit the Cosmosphere? And you said that Steve Hawley has
absolutely
been there. They come back fairly regularly?
Absolutely. Steve probably is there at least once a year. We work with Steve regularly. He serves as an advisor to us. Joe Engel comes every couple of years, but then we try and have a VIP showing from one of the astronauts at least once a year. In fact, this year, December 1st, we're going to have our Earth Rising event, and this is to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Apollo 8, the first time we sent humans and a manned spacecraft to the moon. Right now, we've got Jim Lovell slated to come, and Fred Hayes will be here. Several of the mission controllers and flight directors will be in attendance. So that'll be a great opportunity for us. So we're always trying to bring the astronauts in and to showcase the Cosmosphere and Kansas.
Now, Jim, do you have any fundraising events?
We do. We have events specifically for our annual campaign. We tried two new things this year. We did a direct mail campaign, which was very successful for us. And then right now we're doing an online funding campaign through Scale Funder, and that's helping to support our annual campaign and targeted for the 66 days of camp. It's the first time we've done that as well. Our December 1st event will be a fundraiser as well. And then next year in 2019, we'll bring back our Everything Under the Stars fundraising event, which is hugely successful and popular. So we do have fundraising events regularly throughout the year.
Do you use volunteers?
We do. We could not accomplish our mission and our objectives without our volunteer force. We have approximately 80 volunteers that provide over 2,000 hours of service, and that's the equivalent of, you know, $30,000 employee. So our volunteers provide tours, they provide information to visitors, they help launch our rockets, they help with restoration, they help in our camps, they help our curator Shannon Wetzel down in the collection department with our artifacts. So without the volunteers, we couldn't do what we do, and they're a very important part of our team.
Now, what's in the future for the Cosmosphere?
Well, we're really looking at our strategic plan, our business model, and looking at how we can build our revenue and growth. Attendance will always be a challenge for us, so we're looking at how we can introduce some other revenue opportunities. Attendance is the backbone. The museum is the backbone, and so we're presently raising funds to do some updates and upgrades for the museum as well as some deferred maintenance. We hope to have that underway mid-next year, but then we're also looking at growing our education programs. We've just introduced a blended online curriculum, which we're looking at distributing not just in the state, but nationally and globally. Our SpaceWorks division is presently doing the restoration for the historic Mission Control down in Houston. They also have some opportunities coming up down the road. We're looking at creating some smaller traveling exhibits that we can send out, and then just looking at ways we can continue to innovate our fundraising drives and initiatives. So a lot of activity.
Yeah, next question, what are your biggest challenges? I think you just did. Tell me about them.
Well, it's really twofold. It's attendance. We're off the beaten path a little bit. We're not located in a major metropolitan area. So we really have to be very strategic in how we attract attendance. It's deferred maintenance. That's a big challenge. Some of our infrastructure is dated, so we have to try and find a way to address it. And then it's developing the museum exhibitry that relate to today's visitors, especially children. And then looking at continuing to grow our revenue stream to make sure that the Cosmosphere remains financially stable for generations to come.
So what's your favorite part of the job, Jim?
The challenge, the fact that we do have a challenge, the other is the opportunities. The Cosmosphere is a tremendous asset for the state and the nation, and there are a lot of opportunities out there. And so figuring out how to maximize those opportunities to combat the challenges, I really, really enjoy that. And then the fact that I'm working at one of the premier space museums in the world, located in my hometown of Hutchinson.
Well, and you've talked about visitor attraction and the value there, but the thing that comes through to me is that some tremendous opportunities for especially young people around the state to be involved with the Cosmosphere and learn a lot of interesting stuff.
Absolutely.
And not just about science.
Right, absolutely. We have programs, if you think of space or science kind of as the hub, and then the spokes are all the different subject matters. And so we have programs that introduce political science, journalism, mathematics, really all the subject matters that somebody would need to be introduced to for a variety of professions. And again, we aren't concerned with whether you want to become a mathematician or an engineer or a CNC router or a welder. We just want you to find your passion, ignite that spark, and do what you are excited about.
All right. Hey, thanks for spending some time. And thanks for coming down from Hutchinson and spending some time with us. We appreciate it, Jim.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Our guest, Jim Rebar, President and CEO of the Kansas Cosmosphere and Space Center in Hutchinson. That's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Again, thanks, Jim, for being with us. Thanks for being with us, Jim Rebar from the Cosmosphere. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.